الحمد لله وكفى، سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام را، كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى صراط العزيز الحميد. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. لام را، كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور. الله سبحانه وتعالى has revealed this book to Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the objective of this book was mentioned in this verse. The objective is لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, that, O my Prophet, you may take out the mankind from the darkness into the light. So this is a book of guidance which shows us the right path. It's not only book of worship which tells us about namaz and fasting and zakat. No. It is a book of guidance. It guides every person on each and every step of his life, not only up to his death, but even on the day of judgment, up to the door of the paradise. It is a book of guidance. We should take guidance from this book. And then we should lead our life. It has come in this world to show us the right path. Anyone who will read this book, which is a book of the ultimate realities of the universe, book of the ultimate realities of the universe, a book of truth and of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has put all the truths of this world in one place. And it is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the holy book. It's the fountain of mercy. If we read the Quran, we can easily understand that in this world there is a magnet which attracts the steel objects towards itself. Wherever you will find the steel objects, the mild steel objects, the magnet will drag all of them, attract all of them towards itself. So this book is a magnet of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Magnet of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And when the Quran is being read, then you should keep silent, listen to it, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His blessings upon you. So Quran-e-Majeed, Quran-e-Hameed is the magnet of attracting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The book of guidance. It has a power. But we need to know how to utilize the power of Quran. It is an ocean. One has to go deep to bring the jewel and pearl and diamond of Marifat from it. It has its own enjoyment. The more you read the Quran, the more you love to read it. It is a miracle of Quran. People, they recite the Holy Quran throughout the day and they spend their life in madaris, in teaching the Quran to the students. And throughout life, they read the same book, but every time they read it, they feel new and joy. As if something new, they are tasting it. As if a thirsty person, he is walking in the desert, and at the time of noon, when it is very hot, and he is thirsty, and he finds some cold water. So he drinks the water with zeal and interest. Similarly, when a person reads the Quran, and he knows the meaning of Quran, he reads it with this much zeal and interest. If a person, he has got cold, and you bring very good perfume to him, and ask him, tell me, how is this perfume? He will not be able to make any judgment. Why? Because his system is not working. Similarly, a person who is a sinner, who is having a sinful life, he cannot get enjoyment from the perfume of Quran. There is some protocol. In order to taste the deliciousness of Quran, there is some protocol. And the first one is that we should leave all the sins which we do apparently or we do secretly. Then we will be able to enjoy. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they used to recite Quran and they used to spend whole of the night in reciting the Quran. Sayyidah Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, once in the season of winter, she made intention of 2 rakat and she started reciting the Holy Quran, and when she completed the 2 rakat, she came to know that it was almost time of dawn, and she raised her hand to make dua and she started crying, "Oh Allah, I have only made 2 rakat and your night has been spent in 2 rakat. Your night is so short that it has been spent in 2 rakat. So they used to say that the night time is so short, it is spent in 2 rakat only. At the time of tahajjud, if someone used to walk around in the streets of Medina, then the voice of Quran, recitation of Quran, used to come from each and every house as if it's the murmuring of the honeybee. Why? People used to get enjoyment from Quran. They used to taste it. One of the Sahaba, he has a very small house, very small courtyard, and he is reciting the Holy Quran in Tahajjud. His son is laying down on the bed, sleeping, and there is a horse. He wants to recite it a little bit louder, but he felt when he recites it a little bit loud, then the horse feels uneasiness. And he was afraid that maybe he can give harm to the giant. So then he kept his voice low. Again, from his inner self, he found an urge to recite a little bit loud. But then again he felt that the horse felt uneasiness. It happened all the night. And when he completed his namaz and wanted to make dua, he felt that there were some lights which were going away from his head towards the sky. So in the day, he came to Rasulullah and he narrated all the story. And he said, that what were these lights? Then Rasulullah told him that they were the angels who came down from the sky to listen to your Quran If you kept reciting your Quran, then the residents of Medina, they would have seen the angels with their own eyes. So this Quran has come here to give us respect, to give us dominance in this world. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, in his caliphate, once he was leading an army in Mecca, he was climbing on a mountain. While taking a turn, he just stood there and started looking towards the valley. It was noontime. Everyone was sweating. Then someone asked him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you standing here? It's noon. It's hot. Everyone is sweating. It's very difficult to stand here. Then Umar al-Nama, he replied that I am looking towards this valley. In my childhood, in my teenager life, I used to come with my camels in this valley so that they should graze. But I never knew how to manage them. In the night, when my camels used to go back, my father used to find them hungry. And he used to shout at me, Umar, how you will be able to have a good life? You even do not know how to manage the camels. I am remembering that time when Umar did not know how to manage the camel. And I am looking at this time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Umar Zillano the Amir al-Mu'mineen of this time. So this was the blessing of Quran. But in order to get the benefit, there is some procedure. If I go to the number one specialist of the world and ask him that I have this much disease and need some medicine, and he gives me the prescription, then after 1 week, I give him a call. I'm not feeling any change in myself. He will ask me, have you taken the medicine? And I reply, no, I have put your prescription in my pocket. He will say, no, you will have to put the medicine in your stomach. Then it will give you the benefit. Similarly, if we put the Quran in our closet, just for barakah, just for rahmat, it will not give the benefit to us. We need to read it, to understand it, and to practice it. It's not difficult to understand the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And we have made the Quran easy to understand. Is there any one of you who can understand it? Shawlillah Mutasilli Rahmatullah Alayh, he wrote a very beautiful description about learning of Quran. He said that there are two levels of learning of Quran. The first one is the lower level, level for a common person, me and you. And he said it is very easy. It is very easy. And nowadays, it has been proved by the Muslim scholars that it is very easy. Quran is on the CD-ROM these days. You can count the words, the alphabets of Quran. Total number of words used in Quran, they are almost 85,000. 84,200. I am giving a round figure. So total number of words used in Quran, they are 85,000. But most of them, they have been repeated again and again. For example, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, repeated 100 times. Aqeemus salah, repeated 100 times. Atuz zakah, repeated so many times. So if we take the repeated words as one word, so the different words which have been used in Quran, they are only 2,000. 2,000 different words have been used in Quran. And those people who know how to speak Urdu language, 500 Quranic words are used in Urdu language. For example, jinn, insan, kitab, kalam, kursi, all of them, they are Quranic words. Jannat and Jahannam, but they are using Urdu language. And there are 500. So it means those people who know Urdu language, then there are only 1500 different words used in Quran. In our lifetime, can we not understand the meaning of 1500 words? If we learn one word after every salah, then we will be able to learn 5 words a day. And in 1 year, we will be able to understand the Quran. Ulama, they have made a book for. We conducted a course in Washington for the understanding of the meanings of Quran. And the youngsters and the teenagers, they learned the meanings of Quran within 40 days. Completed. Subhanallah. Our youngsters are so intelligent. Subhanallah. They learned all the words within 40 days. So if on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, oh, you learned the most modern sciences, physics and chemistry, computer sciences, mathematics. Why you could not learn the my holy book, the Quran? Will there be any excuse? No. So it is the duty of each and every Muslim to sit down in the company of ulama and to understand the meaning of Quran. It's not difficult at all. Very easy. And this is first level of understanding. Yet, the second level of understanding is for the scholars. They go deep in the verses of Quran and they get the answers of different masail. So that is the duty of those persons who have spent 10 years of their life, 15 years of their life, who had got specialization in knowledge of Quran. But a common person, he needs only the first level. So that if the Imam is reciting the Holy Quran, he should be able to understand what is being recited. And that's why in Ramadan, if the Qari Sahib is reciting the Holy Quran, most of us, they do not understand what is being recited. So at least we should achieve this target. And it is very easy to understand. وَلَقَدْ جَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ Quran is just like an ocean. The more deep you go in, the more things you find. لَا تَشْبَعُ مِنْهُ الْعُلَمَا Rasulullah SAW, he said, that even the ulama, the scholars, they will never feel that they have learned everything about Quran. No, they will feel thirsty. Even they would like to know more and more about Quran. And with the passage of time, even we are getting the capability to learn the Quran even more. Nowadays, people say, oh, many of the non-Muslims, they are accepting Islam. Is it only the power of Muslims that they are accepting Islam? No, it's the power of Quran. You ask to the non-Muslims who become Muslims, why they become Muslims, you will find at the end, there will be the magic of Quran. There will be the force, the attachment of Quran. One of the Germans, he was a Navy person, he got Quran from one of his Muslim friends. And he recited it. And in different verses, he got that there was description about the ocean. فِي بَحْرِ الْلُجِّيِّ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ An example was quoted that the darkness in the hearts of kuffar is like the darkness in the ocean when it is high tide time, tide on the tide. And then it's the cloudy. The sky is cloudy. So at that time, he said that I have got the experience that there is complete darkness in the ocean. In the normal weather, up to 600 feet, there can be some amount of light which can penetrate. But below 600 feet, there is complete darkness. But when it is cloudy, and then it is high tide time, then right from the surface, it's dark. He said that I have experienced it myself, and when I read it, I thought maybe the prophets of Muslims, he got the chance to go in the ocean. But when I asked the Muslims, and they said that Rasulullah never made a voyage in the ocean, then he said, oh, how he can describe a environment where he has never been. It means that he has got the knowledge from the creator of the universe who has told him the things, how they are exactly happening. He accepted Islam. I have come across so many converted Muslims. Most of them, they tell that it was Quran. It is the power of Quran which attracts the people towards itself. We will spend more and more time. Even a scientist, he will learn the Quran, he will get the meaning, and he will get the pearl and diamond of meaning from his own sight. Let me recite just three words from Quran. There is a verse, and there are only three words. وَالْسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. Three words. وَالْسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. And the meanings are that the sky has the capability to return. Raj, Raju, it is used in Urdu. It has got the capability to return. وَالْسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. And the sky has got the capability to return. No, just try to think this verse of Quran. وَالْسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. And nowadays, we have got a very good explanation of this verse, which it was difficult to understand 1,000 years ago. وَالْسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. Now, Mufassireen, they have quoted in the Tafaseer that As-Sama means يَحْتَمِلُ الْفُلْ وَالْتَحَابْ وَجِهَةُ الْعُلُوْ. That the word Sama can be used for the sky, for the upper direction, for the clouds. So this is one meaning of sky. So if we take this meaning of sky, that the upward direction, then the meanings are that the sky has the capability to return. What is the explanation? What it can return? It can return everything which is beneficial for the mankind back towards earth, and it can return everything away from the earth which is detrimental for the mankind. وَالْسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. And the sky has the capability to return everything towards earth which is beneficial for the mankind, and can reflect everything away from the earth which is detrimental and dangerous for the mankind. And science has given us the explanation nowadays. It's very easy to understand. Subhanallah. وَالْسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. Our ancestors, they used to take the meaning that the sky returns the rain. And that was true. From the ocean, the water vaporizes and goes in the air. And the air, with this much amount of water and humidity, then goes up. And a vacuum is created and the cool air rushes in. And it becomes a cycle. Now this air, which has got very good, very big humidity, when it goes up and climbs 15 to 20 kilometers upward, then the small particles of water, they take the shape of drops of water. Because the temperature is minus 60 degrees, 70 degrees centigrade at that place. So when they take the shape of water, then these water droplets, they become so much that it is difficult for the air to hold it. So becomes they come down and we say that it's raining. But the beautiful point is that the amount of water which is taken from the ocean does not come back on the ocean. No, no, no. It takes the shape of clouds. The clouds move, come on the earth, come on the sky, come on the mountain, and then they rain there. So the most of the percentage of water comes on the mountain. It is taken from the ocean and comes on the mountain, and there they rain. And this water is then preserved there in the form of snow. So this snow on the top of mountain is another ocean of water. But it is a big reservoir for the mankind. Then from the snow, the water melts gradually. And then it takes the shape of lakes and then the river and passes throughout the earth and then comes back to the ocean. Now the same water comes to the ocean, not directly, but it passes throughout the earth and it cultivates the farms, the land, the gardens, and we get the crops, we get the fruit, we get something to eat. SubhanAllah. This is a water cycle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the arrangement. If the clouds, they used to make rain on the oceans, how we could have got the water in the river? How we could be able to cultivate our land? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the arrangement. So our ancestors, they used to take the meaning, بَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ, that the sky has the capability to return the rain. And that was true. But that is not the whole meaning. That is one meaning. If it was the only objective that it returns the rain, it could have been said, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْمَطْرِ, that the sky can return the rain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ, and the sky has the capability to return. What does it return? Everything which is beneficial for the mankind, it returns to the earth. And everything what is dangerous for the mankind, it returns back away from the earth. Now science has given the explanation these days, and it is very easy to understand for everyone. Number one, there is troposphere around the earth, up to 20 to 35 kilometers. Whole of this is called troposphere. The troposphere returns three things back towards earth. Number one, it returns the rain. Number two, it returns the heat wave. Whatever heat waves go up, it returns them back to keep the temperature around the earth at a suitable level. And the third, it returns the dust particles back toward the earth. Very fine and small particles of dust, they travel with the air up. And they are returned back by the troposphere. And because they are returned back, so they reflect the sun rays. And because they reflect the sun rays, there is brightness on our planet. If there were no particles in the air, in spite of sun in front of the earth, we could not have found any brightness on the earth. The people who go into space, they look at the sun, but they feel that there is darkness everywhere. Why? Because there is no dust particle. So the brightness on the earth is due to the reflection of small dust particles. Our day is bright. Our life is so good in the day. Why? Because the dust particles are being reflected by the troposphere. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ, and the sky has the capability to return. It returns everything what is beneficial for mankind and returns back everything what is dangerous for the man. Now the troposphere returns three things: rain, heat wave, and small dust particles. Then around the troposphere, there is ozone layer. Now what does this ozone layer do? this ozone layer, it protects the earth from the ultraviolet rays. Because the sun rays, when they come, then there are ultraviolet rays with the sun rays. And that's why that those people who are fond of having sun bath, they are having more and more skin cancer. Because the ultraviolet rays, they are the root cause of the skin cancer. And that's why nowadays by the medical doctor it has been prescribed that anyone who wants to lay down and take the sun bath, he used to have a protective umbrella from the ultraviolet rays so that he may not get the skin cancer. So this ozone layer reflects back the ultraviolet rays because they are detrimental for the mankind. Subhanallah. Wasama izat al-rajh. And now there are some cracks are being found in the ozone layer and scientists are being worried what will happen. And this is due to the gas of our air conditioner and refrigerator, that there are cracks in the ozone layer. Now the ozone layer, it reflects back the ultraviolet rays which come with the sun rays. They keep us safe from the ultraviolet rays. And then above the ozone layer, then there is ionosphere. And this ionosphere reflects three things. Back towards the earth, number one, it reflects radio waves. It reflects TV waves, telecommunication waves. The ionosphere reflects towards the earth the telecommunication wave. And that's why we have got connected towards each other. Every one of us has a cell phone talking towards the other corner of the planet. How are you doing? I'm fine. Why? Because the ionosphere is reflecting the telecommunication wave. If the ionosphere had not this capability, it would have been impossible for us to be connected so closely. Nowadays we say it's a small global village. Why? Because the ionosphere reflects back telecommunication wave. Our business has become easy. Relatives, they talk to each other. Friends, they talk to each other. Something is happening on the other part of the world. We are sitting in our house and we are watching on the screen what is happening. Why? Because the ionosphere is reflecting back the telecommunication wave, and that's why we have got connected towards each other. Then above the ionosphere, there is magnetosphere. And this magnetosphere reflects back the meteoroids. Allah. No. Then around the ionosphere, there are Van Allen belts, two belts. They are concentric belts, two. Semi-spherical. They are thick on the equator and very thin on the pole. Why? Because they reflect back the cosmic particles. What is cosmic particle? Small particles coming from the outer planets towards the earth. They are reflected back. Sometimes you look towards the sky and you will feel a shooting star. It's not a star. It's a small particle. But it is traveling at a high speed of 150 kilometers per second. With a high speed of 150 kilometers per second, it is traveling towards the earth. But these Van Allen belts, they reflect these particles away from the earth. They save us. And then around the Van Allen belts, there is magnetosphere. And magnetosphere reflects the meteoroids. What is meteorite? Stone. Big stone. They are all the time being showered towards Earth. They are coming. They are fired towards the Earth. Scientists have made a very careful calculation that more than 10,000 tons of material is fired towards the Earth every day. 10,000 tons of material is fired towards the Earth every day, but we are protected from the magnetosphere. We are sleeping, and our Creator is protecting us. We are busy in committing sin, and our Lord is so merciful that He is protecting us. If there were no magnetosphere, then these small stones, they could have reached the Earth. What would have happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. Only three words. No. Think about this. That during last 1500 years, almost 1500 years, millions of scientists, they have spent trillions of the brain cells on thinking about the science, and they have just understood few meanings of these three words of Quran, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. And the sky has the capability to reset. And maybe in the coming time, our coming generations will know more detail what is the capability of sky to reset you. So Quran is an ocean that even hundreds and thousands of scientists, they spend their lifetime and they can understand just few meanings of three words of Quran. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And whole of this Quran is an ocean. Every Muslim should try to understand Quran, should recite it, and try to think about it. It is our duty to explain it in front of the non-believers. Explain it in front of kuffar. Let's look at this Quran. The book was revealed 1,400 years ago, and it is talking about the text. Ultimate reality. Let me tell you one story and conclude. There was a villager. He was going somewhere. He found a bullet. He never saw the bullet before. He took it and put it in his pocket. Then he came to one of his very fast friends and said, "What is this?" He said, "Oh, it is a bullet." The villager asked him, "What does this do?" He said, "Oh, it's a very powerful thing. It can kill even a lion." And then the villager, he listened that it can kill a lion. He was pleased. He said, "Oh, it's very good. I'm going to keep it in my pocket." So one day, he was going somewhere when a small dog came running towards him and wanted to bite him. Now this villager, he took the bullet and threw it on the dog. And the dog even did not pay any attention towards the bullet. No, he ran fast and he saved himself. He succeeded. And then he came towards his friend and said, "Oh, you misguided me." He said, "Oh, you told me it's a very powerful thing and can kill a lion. It even could not kill a small dog." He said, "Oh, my friend, this bullet has a power. But to see its power, there is a procedure." He said, "What is the procedure?" He said, "There is a small weapon. It's called a gun. You have to put the bullet inside and then you have to make a target. And then when you fire this bullet, then you will be able to see the power of the bullet. It can surely kill a lion." Similarly, Quran is just like a bullet of power. But In order to see its power, there is a procedure. Our body is just like a gun. We have to put this bullet inside the gun and then raise our hand and then make dua, and then you will be able to see the power of Allah. This is the only way. Those persons who read Quran right from Alhamd up to Vannar and then practice it right from the hairs of the head up to the toes of the feet, then those people, they make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He changes the geography of the world. They see the power of Quran. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they observe the power of Quran. We can also see it, but then we should practice it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and to practice it in our life, so that we should get its blessings in our life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Subhana rabbiyal azim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbi kareem, hum zahir mein bande hain, haqeeqat mein nihayat gande hain. Allah hamare andar ki gandagiyon ko dur farma. ہمارے دنوں کی ظلمت کو دور فرما، ہمارے دنوں کی سختی کو دور فرما. اللہ ہمارے دنوں کو منور فرما، ہمارے دل کی دنیا کو آباد فرما. میرے مالک، ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما، ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما، ہمارے سینوں کو محبت سے لبریز فرما. اپنے عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما. ہمارے آنگن سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، روئے روئے سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما. ہماری ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی میں اپنی محبت پیدا فرما. اے اللہ، ہمارے علم میں برکت پیدا فرما، عمل میں برکت پیدا فرما، رزق میں برکت پیدا فرما، صحت میں برکت پیدا فرما، ہماری عزت میں برکت پیدا فرما، ہمارے کاموں میں برکت پیدا فرما، قدم قدم اپنی برکت میں شامل حال فرما. میرے مالک، ہمارے ظاہر کو اپنے محبوب کی سنتوں سے سجا، اور ہمارے باطن کو اپنی معرفت سے منور فرما. اے اللہ، جب بچہ پریشان ہوتا ہے، وہاں باپ کی طرف دوڑتا ہے. جب بندے پریشان ہوتے ہیں، اپنے پروردگار کی طرف آتے ہیں. اے بے قصوں کے دستگیر، پریشان حالوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما، مصیبت زدوں کی مصیبتوں کو دور فرما، بیماروں کی بیماری کو دور فرما. اے اللہ، ہمارے ساتھ رحمت کا معاملہ فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، نفس شیطان کے مکر فریب سے محفوظ فرما. اے اللہ، ہمیں قرآن پاک کے ساتھ سچی محبت نصیب فرما، اس کو پڑھنے، سمجھنے اور اس پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اے اللہ، جو صاحب اولاد ہیں، ان کی اولادوں کو نیکوکار بنا، فرما بردار بنا، ماں باپ کی آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا. اے اللہ، جن گھروں میں جوان بچے بچیاں موجود ہیں، ان بچوں کے مستقبل کو روشن فرما، ماں باپ کے لیے ان کے فرض کو ادا کرنا آسان فرما. میرے مولا، اپنی رحمت سے جو پڑھنے والے بچے ہیں، ان کی قوت حافظہ کو تیز فرما، ان کو اپنی تعلیم میں نمایاں کامیابی عطا فرما. جو روزگار کی تلاش میں ہیں، ان کو روزگار عطا فرما. اے اللہ، ہمیں اخلاق محمدی کا نمونہ نصیب فرما. اے مالک، ہم نے اب تک جتنے بھی گناہ کیے، ان سب گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری خطاؤں سے درگزر فرما. رب کریم، ہمارے اساتذہ، مشائخ، والدین میں سے جو دنیا سے رخصت ہو چکے، اللہ ان سب کی مغفرت فرما. جن کی آپ نے مغفرت کر دی، قرب سے اعلیٰ درجات عطا فرما. اور جن کے بھی ہمارے اوپر حقوق آتے ہیں، اللہ ان کو بھی دعاؤں میں شامل فرما. اللہ امت مسلمہ کو عزت رفت نصیب فرما. دنیا میں جہاں جہاں مسلمان پریشان ہیں، اللہ ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. میرے مولا، ہمیں ایک بنا اور نیک بنا، ہم کو اللہ اور حقوق العباد دونوں کو پورا کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. میرے مالک، ہمارے دلوں سے گناہوں کے زنگ اور میل کو دور فرما. رب کریم، ہمیں اپنا قرب عطا فرما، اپنی معرفت عطا فرما. اے مالک، جتنے بھائی اور جتنی بہنیں دور دور سے چل کے آئے، اللہ ان کے آنے کو قبول فرما، اور اس کے بدلے پل صراط پہ چلنا آسان فرما. قیامت کے دن کی ندامت سے محفوظ فرما. رب کریم، قیامت کے دن محبوب کے جھنڈے کے نیچے حاضری نصیب فرما. اے اللہ، دلوں میں جو نیک مرادیں ہیں، ان کو پورا فرما.
جو نیک مقاصد ہیں ان کو پورا فرما، جو اچھے ہوئے کام ہیں ان کو پورا فرما، جو الجھے ہوئے کام ہیں ان کو اپنی رحمت سے سلجھا۔ ارے اللہ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمت سے قبول فرما۔ اے اللہ اپنے قرآن پاک سے فرمایا وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ، اور سوالی کو نہ جھڑکو نہ انکار کرو۔ اللہ جب ہم جیسے کمزوروں کو حکم ہے ہم سوالی کو انکار نہ کریں تو مالک ہم بھی تو آپ کے در کے سوالی ہیں، اللہ آپ ہمیں بھی انکار نہ فرمائیے، آپ تو عزتوں والے شان والے بلندیوں والے ہیں، اللہ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما لیجیے۔ اللہ ہمیں آپ کے محبوب نے آپ کا در دکھایا اور یہ بھی بتلا دیا کہ اس در کے سوا کوئی دوسرا در نہیں، مولا جو آپ کے در سے خالی اٹھا دنیا میں دینے والا کوئی نہیں، جسے آپ اس کے دے دیں اسے سینے سے لگانے والا کوئی نہیں۔ رب کریم ہمارے حال پر رحمت فرمانا اور ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول کر لینا۔ اے اللہ جیسے ماں باپ اپنے کمزور بچے کا زیادہ لحاظ کرتے ہیں، اللہ ہم آپ کے کمزور بندے ہیں، ہمارا زیادہ لحاظ فرمائیے، ہمارے قصوروں کو معاف فرما دیجیے۔ ہم نے جتنے بھی گناہ کیے اللہ ہم اس سے توبہ کرتے ہیں، آئندہ گناہوں سے پاک زندگی عطا کیجیے، نفس مطمئنہ عطا کر دیجیے، ہمارے آنے والی زندگی کو گزری زندگی سے بہتر بنا دیجیے، آنے والے وقت کو گزرے وقت سے بہتر فرما دیجیے۔ اور اے اللہ ہمیں حقوق اللہ اور حقوق العباد دونوں کو پورا کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دیجیے۔ اے اللہ جنہوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے پیغامات بھجوائے ان سب کی نیک تمناؤں دعاؤں کو پورا فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، تب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم، صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا